Hello, everybody. I'm Dwayne Mancini, and welcome to another episode of the Project MedTech Podcast. If you need anything from us or would like to suggest a future guest, you can email us at info@projectmedtech.com. If you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe and leave a review. For more information on Project MedTech, our events we host, our consulting and advisory services, and to sign up for our monthly newsletter, visit our website, www.projectmedtech.com, and follow us on LinkedIn. If you're enjoying this content, don't forget to check out our other podcast by searching MedTech Money on your favorite podcast platform or by heading to our website. MedTech Money is an interview-style podcast focused on demystifying raising and investing capital for medtech companies. We have two events coming up this year. We have our Midwest Showcase, which is August 30th in Cleveland, Ohio, and our Startup Symposium in Houston, Texas, October 25th through the 26th. More information about both events are on our website, and you can also sign up through our website. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Valentium. Valentium is a contract design and manufacturing firm specializing in the end-to-end development, production, and post-market support of diagnostic and therapeutic active medical devices, especially active implantables and other Class 3 medical devices. Valentium's core competencies include electrical engineering and design, mechanical engineering and design, embedded software, software as a medical device, mobile apps, CGMP contract manufacturing, embedded cybersecurity, systems engineering, human factors and usability, and automated test systems. With customers all over the world, Valentium works with clients in every stage and situation, ranging from startups seeking funding to established Fortune 100 companies. Visit Valentium.com to explore your next steps in medical device development. In this episode, our guest David Duram at Greenlight Guru and I discuss what makes teams click, company culture, the Greenlight Guru story, the importance of mission, vision, and value, and so much more. So without further ado, my discussion with David Duram.
Medical innovation starts with medical discussion, talking about the future.
Okay, just like that. David, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Dwayne. Great to be here.
Yeah, so David, for the listeners that are tuning in today or whenever they're listening to this, introduction into who you are and what you currently do.
Yeah, thanks, Dwayne. I'm David Duram, CEO at Greenlight Guru. I guess I've been on a crazy ride for the last 32 years in high-growth software companies. 28 of those years have been in companies that I've built from ground zero. And I've been studying leadership my whole life. I've got a passion for leadership, culture, development. And from those 32 years of lessons, we built a really unique culture at Greenlight Guru. It centers on our mission of improving the quality of life. And I've got this crazy hobby. I love working with kids on their development. I coached high school basketball for about a decade, and in Indiana, that's a religion. High school basketball is kind of a religion here. And I've been running a foundation for 15 years. We work with kids. We offer high quality educational opportunities through athletics. And then Greenlight Guru popped in and built the Guru Arena. So this is a state of the art facility. I call it more of a palace or a temple that's home to our basketball kids. And we have a mission to get these kids into college with both academic and athletic scholarships.
No kidding. Okay. So let's chat about all these different things real quick before we get into leadership and getting the most out of your team. So you haven't been, you're in tech broadly, correct? And then you kind of got into med tech, I guess, through Greenlight.
About the last 10 years I've been in med tech, and I did 18 years before that in genetics.
Okay. So, I mean, maybe talk a little bit. I'd love to just hear from your perspective. How much does, you know, you getting the most out of your team and leadership, how much does that play into it versus you're in an industry that's saving lives every day?
I think that's the fascinating part about it, is the two meld together so well. I have a passion for high performance teams. What makes a team magic? What makes a team click? What makes people love what they do? Now, not loving the result, but they love the actual work. They love what they do. And then the the run in medical device for the last 10 years and really for the last 28 years in healthcare has melded really well. And so what we talk a lot about at Greenlight is a company with soul is a completely different entity. And so we're playing for the quality of life. We're playing for, you know, some of our customers. Some good examples we have is we just had a CEO talk to our entire team yesterday. He's working on the opioid crisis. So he described what happens when a baby is addicted to opioids. And, you know, he was a little bit choked up in describing the situation, like the sound that a baby makes when it cries. It doesn't even sound like a cry. And adults describe this withdrawal syndrome, the symptoms. They describe this as you're certain that you're going to die. So imagine what a baby's going through that's a newborn. And he, as he had tears coming out of his eyes, he described blood coming out of the baby's eyes. And his device gives that baby relief within 60 minutes in the clinical trials. So we're playing for our customers. We're playing for the quality of life. For kids who can't walk and technologies developed with artificial intelligence, with this amazingly cool technology that teaches them how to walk through these robots that are built on artificial intelligence. So our company has the soul that's behind the quality of life of patients going home from surgery, moms and dads going back to their family, because this device was built with a risk-based approach that ended up being a very high quality device. That's the vibe, that's the energy that runs through our company day over day.
So I love that. Tell me about Greenlight here too, for those who don't know, because most people who are listening to the podcast probably know who Greenlight Guru is because of your presence from an educational perspective, but also the EQMS software. When's it founded? Are you one of the founders? Is that correct?
Yes.
You and John together? Yes. Or was there more? Okay.
John and I had conversations going back to 2010, and we incorporated in 2013. But there just wasn't that solution for medical device professionals that was focused on the industry. And John convinced me of that, you know, over a number of conversations.
Yeah. Okay. So 2013, you find the company, 2023, 10 years later. How big are you now from an employee's perspective? I know you've made an acquisition of Smart Trial. So just talk to me a little bit about Greenlight, the evolution, the story here, so people have the background of the growth that Greenlight has seen in the last 10 years.
Yeah, it's been really amazing. So 230 employees now. It's global.
Wow.
A number of acquisitions. Smart Trial acquisition was the one that you mentioned. Also an artificial intelligence company and a strategy focused company as well. We're absolutely centered on medical device. We don't do pharma, aerospace, food and beverage, cannabis. You know, friends of mine, why would you not tap into that? Why would that not be part of your strategy? And what it's done is it's made us really good at what we do. And I think it's served the patients well. It's served the industry well. It's served our employees well to have that focus, that industry focus on medical device.
You're preaching to the choir here. Literally founded a company called Project MedTech, right? I mean, we are not going to dance with therapeutics. It's just not our thing, right? We are always going to be in the med device sector. So, I love that. I love that kind of focus there. So you're also based, in the Midwest in Indianapolis. Tell me a little bit about, Are you born in Indiana? Are you born in the Midwest or?
No, I was born just north of Chicago. I had a scholarship at IU, and coming out of school, I had this really amazing opportunity to travel the world. You know, I was in manufacturing and distribution. I had customers in London and we had Toyota in Australia. We had Sega in San Francisco. We had Toshiba in Germany. I really couldn't turn that down. What I wanted to do was return to Chicago, but had a great opportunity there at a company called the Summit Group and learned a lot from working at these companies about process and how some of these larger companies run and pulled that down into, you know, my earlier stage startups.
Yeah. So super interesting. Is there a reason you kind of stayed in the Midwest, right? I mean, is there something you like about the Midwest? The reason I ask this is like, you just see a lot of companies that maybe grow up, mature, and they move to one of the coasts, right? Because maybe there's funding there or something like that. But then there seems to be like a group of people that I've come across in this industry that are just like, well, we love the Midwest. We're all about the Midwest. I mean, we certainly fall into that, right? Like, I'm never leaving Cleveland. I'm never leaving Ohio. I haven't left Ohio my whole life. I love Ohio. But just curious if that was a little bit of what you guys discussed at Greenlight, or was there ever a discussion of, hey, we're a tech company for med tech. We should probably go out to San Francisco, or we should probably go out to Boston.
Yeah, we've got multiple offices in, you know, multiple places. I like people in the Midwest. I spent a lot of time in Boston. I spent a lot of time on the West Coast. It's just a different set of values, I think. And I don't think that there was any pressure to move to either one of the coasts, but we've attracted a lot of talent from both coasts, even from the very beginning, you know, with people relocating here from Austin, from Bend, Oregon. Bend, Oregon is like paradise. You don't leave Bend, Oregon unless you have a good reason. But I think people are attracted to our mission. They're looking for something more. People are looking to be challenged. And I think we've become this magnet for extremely talented, driven people who want more out of their career, who want more out of their profession. We talk a lot about professions at Greenlight Guru. And we've become this magnet for just extraordinarily talented people, and even, you know, relocating from different areas of the country that you wouldn't normally think people would bounce around from.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about this culture and growth, right? So you kind of set the stage. Four of you start the company in 2013. You go to 230 people in 10 years. So obviously something's working, but, you know, and I'll speak to this because we're close partners with Greenlight, and your team, every person I've ever interacted with at Greenlight, I've had a positive experience with, right? And that's part of the game. And some of those people aren't here today because they've moved on to other bigger and better things potentially. But every single time I've had an interaction with Greenlight, I could say that I've had a positive interaction, right? So you're doing something right. And so that was the whole point of this conversation, right? I wanted to learn about Greenlight at the beginning, but wanted to take, you know, there's so many startup entrepreneurs listening into this specific podcast, and they have to think about how they're going to get from three employees and a team of contractors to 20 employees and a team of contractors. I mean, that's what most med tech companies face, is the fact that you have full-time people who are going to wake up and think about your mission every day. But then you also have a team of individuals who are supporting you, a lot of times like a group like Project MedTech, where we're not waking up and thinking about your company right away, but you have to get us to buy into that culture and that mission, and that can be difficult. And so this is such a appropriate conversation for some of those startups. So I'm curious, dating all the way back to the beginning, I mean, was it from the very beginning that you said, we've got to focus on culture, or we're not going to attract and retain talent?
It was, you know, I have 32 years now of making mistakes, and most of those mistakes are related to culture. So I just love talking about this. The second we start talking about this, I'm going to go chatty Cathy on you, and I'm going to tell you what I think. But just for starters, culture is everything. It's the whole thing. Culture determines results. So yeah. We did start there. We did weave a DNA into our company that was based on our mission, vision, values. And then we actually have a DNA of our company, which is alligator blood. And alligator blood, you might have heard of, it's our expectation of grit. It's our expectation of toughness. We're living in a world now where almost every answer is available to you. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to get stronger or lose weight or learn a foreign language, all this stuff is out there now. It's just a matter of, will you do what you have to do to get the results that you desire? And we like tough people. So part of our DNA is alligator blood. You know, alligators have been around for 70 million years. You can't get rid of these things. They're fast. They bite like crazy. They're built out of combat armor. Like, we love everything about the energy of alligators. So we've incorporated that in all of our gear. All of our conference rooms are places where alligators live. We got the gator pit and the bayou and the swamp and the marshlands. And you see alligators all over our office. So we built the DNA, which is where all of our core values roll up. And then our mission and vision sit on top of those core values. And that's how we make decisions. That's how we hire. That's every heartbeat of our company. Every breath is directly related to mission, vision, and values.
So let's unpack this, right? We can't all steal the alligator blood, or maybe we can, I guess, but we can't all take that, right? And I always look at, I don't know if, I know you said you played basketball, but are you a football guy too?
I like football. Yeah.
Okay. So PJ Fleck is the head coach of University of Minnesota, and he came from Central or Western Michigan. And I went to a MAC school in Toledo, and he's carried the row the boat mentality from where he was before up to the University of Minnesota now. And I always liked that one, right? That was always an analogy that kind of went with me, and I like your alligator one. So, but talk to me just about the mechanics of your strategy, what you think about, and how you, what was the process of instituting that, and then also sticking to it and how you got people to buy into it. I mean, let's start talking about it. So you tell me where you want to start, but
mission, right? So yeah. why does the company exist versus not exist? Why should we even do this? Why should we wake up in the morning and wear ourselves out? Because you talked about small companies. What did you say? Three, four people in the company. The last thing, you know, if you go to really experienced mentors, they'll tell you the last thing you should ever do is start from zero because it's just too hard. Mm-hmm. Right. So if you're going to start from zero, you got to get the jet moving down the runway and you got people pushing the jet. There's no engine in the jet yet. And it's miserable. It's hard. And you'll always hear it's easier to buy a $10 million company and take it to 100 million. Don't be the fool that starts from zero. So if we are going to start from zero, then it's going to be really, really hard. Okay. So when it gets really, really hard, why are we going to continue to push? And the answer is it's your mission. It has to be what drives you. It has to be what wakes you up in the middle of the night. You have to care about it. You have to be willing to go talk to patients and see patients, go talk to customers and see the joy that they're having or the pains that they're having with your product. You have to live it. So our mission is to improve the quality of life. And we firmly believe that we've done that. The conversation was always around compliance, compliant this, compliant that. And for me, compliance would be like, hey, honey, how was the restaurant? Oh, they had no health code violations. No one talks like that. How was your date? How was your date last night? It was very compliant. That's a pretty low bar to set. And what we really wanted to do was aim at quality. We want our customers and the industry to aim at quality. So we just introduced this concept that if you aim at quality, compliance comes for free. And I think that's going to leave a wake behind it of high quality devices, just a different way of thinking about things. FDA came in with Cisco and did a series with us on the case for quality, where we helped really push out that message that quality does return. Quality is the heartbeat of your company. It determines your retention. It determines what kind of products you're building. It determines your brand in the marketplace. Quality is the heartbeat. It's the center of everything. People like to push back against quality because usually the quality team is going to tell you it's going to take longer or it's going to cost more. So they tend to take a lot of flack, but these are the people that are holding the brand in their hands, and they're holding the company in their hands.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I totally get it. Especially at a startup too, or any job you go to, right? I mean, that's gotta be the number one component that maybe stops you from becoming burnt out, right? I mean, burnt out's gotta be a little bit a combination of, hey, yeah, I'm tired, but also the mission, right? Does the mission start to wear down and now you don't buy into that a little bit? Mm-hmm. I totally see that. So missions first, what's next?
The mission better drive you. When your feet hit the ground in the morning, for us, we live in this green world. We live inside of this mission. So then your vision has to be next. So our vision is to be number one in the world. So it's not for everybody. And this is a very important conversation that we have in our hiring process. Not everybody wants to be number one in the world. You know, like if you climb on a treadmill and you set it at 10, you're going to get a 10 workout. If you set it at 3, you're going to get a 3 workout. But we're always set at 10 or 12 every day. You know, there's a certain amount of push that goes along with being number one in the world. And we've been able to accumulate more medical device customers than anyone in the world, but we have our own internal metrics around what that means. And, you know, we have designs for 8 to 10x growth in a very short amount of time, just based on the position that we've been able to take in the industry, the products we've been able to build, the really incredible pipeline of products that are coming behind what we currently have that are, you know, will 10x the functionality that we've been rolling with. So it's a vision then that drives you after you talk about your mission, you then have a vision.
Is that same conversation you're having with, we want to be number one in the world, is that from employee one to employee 230?
Yes. Right through the very first conversation that everyone has at Greenlight Guru is with me. It's part of the new hire orientation. We walk through our culture. We walk through what the secret of the culture is, why Greenlight Guru is different, why we've been able to achieve so much growth, and why the culture is the center of that, what our mission, vision, and values are. How we think about mindset. Mindset is huge at Greenlight Guru. We brought in an amazing company, Dream Fuel, that works with us on our mindset. We believe that thoughts become things. We believe that a lot of reality is created in your mindset.
All right. Mission, vision, what's third?
Right behind that is going to be your core values. And we don't like core values like be honest, you know, like as opposed to what? be honest, like those are not for me things that are going to change your moment to moment existence inside of every breath. So we chose core values that actually change the course of the company, or better yet, change the course of somebody's day. And the one that has, I think, impacted the company more than any is fanatical support. So we will fanatically support each other. We will fanatically support our customers. And we mean that when we say it. Like, we'll go all out to do whatever we can do. And the feeling that I have when I show up at work and I know that I've got 229 people who are committed to fanatically supporting me to be successful, and I've made the same commitment to them, has transformed the organization. So choosing your core values is important. So that you may have to make sure that there's something that we can actually build on. And that's been a really big one for us. We also believe in being innovative. So our gear is innovative. Our office is extremely innovative. So you know that our products, our sales process, our development process, everything we do beyond that, if we're innovative in little things, we have to be innovative in crucial business critical things, we have the same spirit moving forward. So we believe deeply in being innovative. And we believe in closing. So it's really easy to start projects. Do you like to start new projects, Dwayne?
I do.
I'm the king of it.
I love it.
Starting new things is awesome. What's really hard is finishing things well. And we realize that, you know, from years of experience, we've realized that it's not common to finish well. So we believe in the culture of closing. We believe in finishing projects well. If there's 15 things that we have to do, we would much rather do 5 sets of 3. And get 3 things finished and move on to the next 3, then try to do 15 things all at the same time. So there's an element of focus there as well, but we love finishing. And I've always said we'll only have 3 core values. We would only have 3 ever. And then we added a 4th. And the reason we added a 4th is because it wrapped everything else up. But, you know, over the years, we should make that a core value. And I've just held firm. But the 4th one we added is true quality. Now, this core value wraps the other core values, because there is a vibration in quality. This is what I've realized. Quality is the heartbeat of every company. There's a vibration in quality. My favorite example is, Dwayne, did you have to cut the grass when you were a kid?
I did.
So did I. And I couldn't do anything until I cut it. So I would just wait until like the sun was almost coming down, the last possible minute as a kid, right? Just trying to be a jerk. And I would do a horrible job, and you'd stare at it, and you kind of knew something was wrong, right? You're like, yeah, that was bad. Yeah. That was really bad. But then one time you decided, like, I'm going all out. And you cut it, and you cross cut it, and then you hedge it, and you blow all the grass off the driveway, and you're putting everything you have. You put a little bit of yourself into this. And when you look at it, you're like, huh, I'd like to lay down on that. It's almost like, imagine your favorite pro sports field. Like you're an Ohio guy, the Cleveland Indians outfield. You come to the game, it's very attractive. You want to have a picnic out there and lay down on it. So what I've realized is that quality is a vibration, and every person, every company, every product, every restaurant, they all have a certain vibration of high or low quality. You ever been to a restaurant where the menus are dirty?
I have. Yeah. I mean, it's not a great thing. Yeah.
It's almost like the food almost doesn't even matter, right? Because it's already, the low quality is already repulsive.
Yep.
So what we try to do is we try to introduce a spirit of true quality into everything we do, every hire we make, every interaction, every one-on-one, every meeting, every team meeting should be very high quality. It should vibrate very high. And then that helps us wrap our other core values together. So we live this. I mean, this is daily. If we bring our team together, the question is like, how are we innovative this week?
Yeah.
What did we do this week that fanatically supported each other and our customers and our partners? What did we do? And every single time I'm blown away by the answers. What did we do this week that improved the quality of life? And someone comes on and tells a story about one of our customers that gets me choked up. Mm-hmm. That's the culture at Green Light Guru. And that's why focusing on medical device gives the company a soul that you could never have if you were in pharmaceutical and aerospace and cannabis and all these other regulated industries. You can't do what we do without a maniacal focus on the medical device industry.
Yeah. So four core values, anything after core values, are those the three big things here?
And then underneath that sits the DNA. It sits the alligator blood.
Okay. So before we get to the DNA and the alligator blood, which I know you talked about, but I wanna touch on DNA. As a leader of the company, right? So many companies out there talk about these things, right? But at the end of the day, you as the leader of the company, it starts with you, right? Like if you're not bought into this, and if you're not just bought in, but showing this and exemplifying it so that employees walk around and go, wow, David talks about all this stuff, but he's about it too. You're right. He's executing on it, and he's showing us through his actions, not just through his words. Tell me a little bit about some of those things you do that, you know, you're obviously all in on it, but what are some of those things you're doing to show the other people at Greenlight all through the years, right? It doesn't have to be just now, but as you've been growing this culture, that David's all about this, and we appreciate that.
I would agree with you that a lot of companies, we've all been in these companies. I've been a part of these companies as a founder where you put the core values on the wall, be honest, integrity, like, and no one, and that's the last you ever hear about it.
Yep.
So for us, it has just become, the culture has become the only thing. It's become something that we hand to our employees. So here's the thing, I can't keep the culture. You said, how do you keep it? I can do my best. But all the messaging that I got was, hey, you built this amazing thing. It's cute. But you can't keep that through 25. There's no way. And you can't keep that through 50. And then it was 100. And then it was 200. And we still had it. And now it's 230. And the message is, I can't keep it. It has to be every single person. The culture is not something that you step into like rain coming down out of the sky. You're like, wow, this is an amazing culture. It's a relationship with the company. And I don't know about you, but when I don't put energy into my relationships, they don't tend to stay the same. They tend to go backwards. So there's a high level of energy that's expected from our 230, we call them gators. There are 230 gators that work at Greenlight Guru. There's a certain amount of energy that's expected that they put into the culture. And if we're not living the culture, then we help you find your next opportunity. And so everybody knows, everybody's been at a company where there's just a group or an individual or a set of people who are not on board. And if we're going to run the high level culture that we want to run, everybody's got to be on board.
I love it. Tell me about DNA. It sits underneath DNA all these core values. Blood.
That's what we've talked about. And it's just become an expectation. There's an expectation of toughness. Like if someone comes to a meeting and says, I know you said 50, but what do you think about 47? And we'll just kind of stare at them. Like, we just don't quit. We just don't give up. We don't quit. We've got 230 of those people. And I'm so proud of the team. I'm so proud of the way that they show up. You know, the way that they, there's just a certain amount of toughness that's just expected. It's an amazing place to work. And I think that's why we become a magnet for talent. It's for people who want something more out of their career, that want to be challenged, you know, that want to, they want to live a mission-based existence. They want to have soul in their work. I interviewed an executive who told me, I'm 40. This is the true, this is a true story. He said, I'm 40. I've made all the money I'll ever need to make. And I want to work at Greenlight Guru because when I look back at my career, all I did was help lawyers make more money. And that's my legacy. And I'm not proud to say that to my kids. I want to do something, you know, I want to do something with my career. I want to do something with my legacy. And that was the reason why this executive wanted to work at Greenlight Guru. Is we provide that soul, we provide that purpose. So you talk about the great resignation, people are leaving places to come here because they get that soul, they get that magic here that you don't get if you're helping lawyers make more money, which is admirable. Winning is good, right? Yeah. I love winning. You probably love winning. You played soccer right growing up, right? Winning beats the heck out of losing.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
But if it's just winning for winning's sake, you see this in a lot of VC companies. They're just trying to get their next round. Winning just for winning's sake is kind of empty. If you can put soul behind that and you can animate that company with the magic of improving the quality of life, now you've got something. You've got something that people can wake up in the morning and be proud of. Like, are you proud to tell your kids that you made lawyers more money? Or are you proud to tell your kids, hey, we're helping these babies who are born with opioid addiction to eliminate their withdrawal symptoms in 60 minutes.
Yeah. 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 Look, for me, culture is huge. Now we are, 14 people. We're not 230, but, when I got into the med tech space, I got in with a company called NAMSA. And they're also out of the Midwest here. The CRO in Toledo is where they're headquartered, but they have some locations in Minnesota. And I didn't realize how important culture was and how good of a culture they had until I left there and I went to LabCorp and worked in their medical device group. And very quickly, it hit me that I was not being fulfilled by that current role. And so, you know, was it risky to start Project MedTech, you know, a year after the birth of our daughter? For sure. But and has the last, you know, 2 years been stressful at times? Absolutely. But I could tell you that there's not a day I wake up where I go, oh, damn, I got to get out of bed. Right. It's you're up, you're at 'em, and you're going. I've never taken less vacations in the last 2 years. Like, I mean, there's so many new things that looking back on it, 29-year-old me would have been like, boy, this is going to be that. I don't want anything to do with that. And now I look back and go, I can't believe I did anything different. Right. Mm-hmm. So I totally hear you on this. I'm curious.
What you're talking about, love plus work. It's that you love what you do. You don't love the outcome. That's not greatness. You love what you do, moment to moment. And that, the greatness is its own reward. I learned that from JMI, who's our private equity company, is the best teams in the world, and they get the opportunity to see some of the absolute best teams in the world. But the best teams in the world are not motivated by the trip at the end or making the quarter or making the month. They're motivated every moment by greatness, and it is its own reward. That's one of the best lessons I've ever learned.
I love that line. It brings up another thing I want to ask you about. Did Greenlight ever raise money before the large investment from the private equity group?
I think one of the most important things that we did was we never raise any venture capital.
You bootstrapped everything, right?
So we maintained control of the company for a long time. Mm-hmm. And we self-funded and went to friends and family. You know, we did raise money, but small amounts that were appropriate for our stage, which then allowed us to be in a very strong position when we were ready to actually raise. And now we have the best investor in the world for software companies at our stage. So they invested $120 million into us. And this JMI group is nothing short of incredible. The level of operational excellence that they've helped us to achieve is 10x more valuable than the capital. The relationships, the insights, the ability to pick their brain when we see something or we see an opportunity, that has been for us, the operational excellence that we've achieved has been incredible working with a company like that. And I don't know if we get there if we have multiple rounds of VC on the front of the company.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about what kind of led you to that decision to take on that money. Was it because this is a key discussion point, right? And because I've been in service, ever since I've been in the med tech space, it's been in service providers to the med tech companies, right? NAMSA, LabCorp, Project MedTech, we're all service providers. I'm curious, you know, because as a founder of Project MedTech and the CEO, I feel very close to our mission, our vision, our mission, vision, core values, our DNA. And it's funny, again, 29-year-old me would have been like, yeah, first time you get offered something, you're probably going to take it, right? If someone comes in and says, hey, I'll give you this much money for the company, it's like, boom, perfect. Then you start to do this and you start to go, well, hold on a second. Like, they better have the exact same core values and mission and vision and share that with me. And their money better be able to add kerosene to this fire that we're building, right? I mean, is that your experience? Is that kind of what you guys went through where you said, hey, we're building something fantastic. We have this culture here. If we're going to take outside investment, they better be totally bought into this culture and it's going to be a good marriage. I mean, talk to me a little bit about this experience because it's fascinating to me.
You nailed so many great points there. I think one of them I would start with is the biggest commodity in the world is money. It's everywhere. I don't even know how many of these firms exist, but it's a commodity. So if you're going to bring that in, it has to be with somebody who matches your culture. And we had years of experience with the JMI team before we took that investment. So we knew who they were and we knew that they matched our culture. And then it also has to match your everything. All the decisions are based on your mission. So you ask a simple question, will this help us to accelerate our mission of improving the quality of life, or will it not? And that's why having mission, vision, values is so important, because every decision you make, every hire you make, it goes right back to who you are and what you believe. So yeah, the answer was yes, this will tremendously help us to accelerate our mission to improve the quality of life. And yes, they are a fit with our culture. And yes, these are people that I do want to work with. That was one of the conversations I had with John in 2013 is, hey, John, I'm only going to hire people I like. He's like, what are you? And I didn't even know what I was saying when I said it, but we do this during the week. We see each other more than we see our families. So we better like the people we work with.
Yeah.
Right? This becomes our second family. And so for me, it was really important that I would like the people that would be on the board and honestly that we work with day to day now. Our board meetings aren't like, show us what you did. It's let us help you solve some of your problems. So having someone that can lean in and be value add, the timing as well was perfect for us. It was the right time. So there's multiple factors that go in when you make a decision that big, but all of that combined and really focused in on the mission of improving the quality of life.
Excellent. I'm curious, David, you mentioned, did you play basketball at IU?
No. I did not play basketball at IU. I mentioned to you that I had a scholarship.
Yes. Sorry.
Yep. And I grew up carrying golf bags.
Got it.
One of the top 10 most exclusive country clubs out there in Lake Bluff, north of Chicago. And I ended up with a caddy scholarship, which is not quite as exciting as playing for the Hoosiers and dunking on Patrick Ewing. That was not what I did. But I did have this amazing scholarship from the Evans Scholars Foundation that was a full ride. And I ended up at IU.
Okay. So you have a full ride, but you mentioned you coached basketball for 10 years though.
I coached high school basketball for nine. South Bend, Indiana. And that was just a fantastic run. Just learning so much about the game, learning so much about John Wooden talks about how it is one of the biggest leadership challenges is learning to coach because there's so much emotion in the game. Immediate feedback, the scoreboard is going to tell you exactly what the feedback is. And we have a lot of that in our business. And I've written articles for Entrepreneur and Forbes about why elite sports teams have better cultures than elite business teams. We brought a lot of those concepts into our culture as well, too.
Yeah. This is where I'm going with all this. It's a long way of asking, where did all this knowledge about culture come from? Right? Like that's what I'm getting. That's what I want to know.
Yep. I'd say two things. One is just raw, hardcore failure. Like, how did I get that wrong again? I got it wrong again. What just happened? How did I lose that key deal or that key person or that key relationship? What did I do? What did we do? So there's that. And then I also have an amazing executive coach that I've had since 2008. It's Sandra Forrester out of Leading Edge is the company, but I tripped over her through a mission, vision, value session that we ran with our foundation. And then ended up having her as an executive coach. And when you have someone who understands culture to the degree that she does, and being able to lean in with an executive coach, week after week, month over month, year over year, and to just the same thing, same mistakes, you're just getting them pointed out to you.
Yeah. Right. Okay. All right. David, this has been incredible. I very much enjoy this conversation. We're going to chat offline here in a second, but for those listening in, up or down an inch, depending on the platform you're listening into, I'll have David's LinkedIn hyperlinked within there. I'll have Greenlight Guru's website hyperlinked as well. But David, for me personally, I really appreciate this conversation. As an entrepreneur who's early in my journey, this has been super valuable to learn about things that you've done to get to where you are today. And I hopefully that a lot of our listeners who are in a similar situation are taking that. But thanks so much for doing this, and we'll chat offline here.
It's been a lot of fun. I've appreciated getting to know you a little bit, and thank you for having me.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and leave a review. If you need anything from the podcast, you can always contact us at info@projectmedtech.com. Thanks for listening and have a great day.